One of the things the Lord has put on my heart, as believers of the body of Christ, even though that we are new creations in Christ Jesus, right, and old things have passed away, we're still hindering on some of the old things that have passed away. And one of the things that we have a consistent fight with, of course we know that we're not fighting flesh and blood, correct? But we're having a consistent fight with, and the word is called surrender. Surrender. And there are attributes to surrender. First of all, the word surrender means to return. In other words, God gave us life, right? He rescued me and you, and he gave us life. And what he's saying, okay, now return the life that I gave you back to me. In other words, give up. You know how many times we start struggling and we go, oh man, that's it, I had it. Unfortunately, we don't need to get to that position to surrender. We can surrender ahead of time. Amen? You know, so we see here surrender is a representation of returning. When you're surrendering, you know when somebody comes up and sticks you up, you surrender. You stick both hands in the air and you go, okay. And it's a wonderful way to worship God. You know, unfortunately, you know, when somebody sticks you up, you're surrendering. What we call the surrender is for a representation of something that we've held on to and don't want to let go of. Somebody can put you in the pool and you can hold on to your, whatever, a brick that you love so much, you know? And if you don't surrender it, you're going to sink. So sometimes surrender is, we have to give up certain things. And we have a hard time surrendering, especially things that we believe is right. Or even surrendering in circumstances. Surrendering of a decision.
Did you know I was coming?
Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost knew you were coming. Surrendering. You know, especially in our ministry that we deal with a lot of ex-drug addicts and alcoholics and their families, you know, some of the wives come to us and share certain things about their husbands that are bound or whatever. And one of the things we have to share with them is you got to surrender them up because there's nothing you can do. You know how many times we're trying to fix somebody else's life? And we end up getting caught up ourselves. You know, frustrated and everything else. And it's like, man, you know, there is a time when you just got to surrender and give it up and quit trying to establish something. Turn to Psalm 127. Hallelujah. Psalm 127. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, I love that song, Wow, all day today I've been singing, I surrender all. I'm like, Lord, what are you trying to talk about tonight? I thought he was going to hit me with a baseball bat. What do you think, guy? Hallelujah. Can we read the first verse? Psalm 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Wow. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. You know how many people have been staying awake? You know, like I said, when we deal in this circumstance with families that have been bound by drugs and alcohol, family people, either a husband or wife who hasn't come home for days and are staying awake and they're trying to, you know, protect the things that they have. And so, you know, and the whole thing is there's nothing they can do. What about children that are out all night? Oh, no, what? You know what? There's nothing we can do. But surrender to the one that can do something. Amen? And then get counsel from him so that we know what to do when they show up. Amen? Because you know what? Let me tell you something. When you get caught up in that soulish realm of worry and frustration, you can't hear God. You just don't know what to do. And then everybody looks at one another. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? How about surrender it and listen? So we want God to build the house, and the only way God's going to build the house in me and you is if we surrender. You know how many people have a hard time receiving the gift of tongues or even getting baptized in the Holy Spirit because they're not surrendering? See, they're bound to traditions, thinking that God can only do something, whatever, or that they're not worthy, or whatever, instead of just totally surrendering to God. Amen. And letting go. You know, when you and I first became a believer, we said, okay, I'm letting God, and I'm letting go, or letting go and letting God. And then as soon as we became a believer, okay, that's done, let's go on, give me a bag. Let me do it now. Amen. Let me build this. Thanks, Lord, for these tools. Let me show you how it's done. So, for me and you to walk in a victorious life, most of your life as a believer will be surrender. Does everybody get it? If you're not in a surrendered state, you're in a rebellious state. The Bible says that rebellion is witchcraft. So many times we're trying to figure out what God wants, and how he wants it, when he wants it, and where he wants it. And he's saying, I'm not giving you the blueprints. You got to trust me. Amen. So we must get in this surrendered state at all times until he tells you to do something. Then what you're doing is you're surrendering to what he's telling you to do, and you're taking care of it, aren't you? Because now God is building the house through you. Does everybody get it? A representation of surrender is the word known as relinquish. Relinquish. Abandon. Or abandoning. Letting go. Relinquish. And we want to relinquish the old life, don't we? We want to surrender up that old life and go on to the new life. But the devil has a way of always trying to turn us around to grab hold of it. We have a tendency to want to always fix what we've done yesterday. Does everybody get it? And what happens is it takes us out of a surrendered mode and brings us into a fixing mode. See, if you're surrendered in Christ right now, truly surrendered, he'll not only refresh you today and prepare your future, but he'll fix yesterday. But if you're not surrendered, you're so busy trying to fix yesterday, you're missing what God's doing today. Amen. And then we're always walking backwards instead of forward. Hallelujah. Another attribute of surrender is yield. Yield. The word yield is a representation of to concede. We want God's way, not our way, right? Give way. You know what? How many times have you gotten in an argument? Or you're preventing an argument, really. You're in a discussion. Let's go back. You're in a discussion, and you know that if you don't surrender and let it go, it's going to get into an argument. See, so we have to have that discernment, knowing, listen, this individual isn't listening. There's no sense of me getting caught up in this, because you can see the horns start to grow on the other person, you know, the tail come out, and it's like, all right. All right, I'm not getting caught in this. So what you do is you just surrender it up and you yield to the Spirit, because the Bible says, depart from evil. Amen. Depart from evil. And you'll watch God keep the peace in you, because we don't want to lose our peace. You know, there's no sense of getting caught up in this argument. We want to surrender. And as we have to learn this, because it's fulfilling offices in the body of Christ, fulfilling husband, wife, parent. Let me tell you, there are times you got to surrender, man. You got to surrender. As servants of the Most High God, children of God, we must learn surrender. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So we want to yield up. We want to yield. And one thing we want to do is yield to the Holy Spirit. We want to concede to His way. Amen? Another attribute is of surrender is submit. Submit. In other words, we want to receive God's correction and direction. Let's say something comes across your path and you're like, well, you know, I really think I can do this. I really believe I can do this. Yeah, this must be my calling without praying. Amen? So what we're trying to do is we're trying to get involved in something without actually submitting to God to find out if this is really God. You know how many people have good deals piled up? You know how many good deals are not God deals? Many. I used to have backyards full. Good deals, not God deals. Getting caught in something because it seems to be the right price, the right time, but it's not God. And next thing we realize, we're struggling to maintain it. Or we're struggling to fix it, repair it, or reestablish it. We're struggling. Well, that means it's not God. And what we've done is we have surrendered not to God, but we've surrendered to the circumstance of the good deal and not gone to God to find out. Go to Psalm 40. So we want to receive correction and direction. Psalm 40. Hallelujah. By submitting. So we see some of the attributes that I just discussed in surrender is, of course, surrender to give up, relinquish is to abandon, yield is to concede, and submit is to receive God's correction. Does everybody get it? Hallelujah. In Psalm 40, let's read this together. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me, and He heard my cry. See, waiting patiently is a representation of surrendering, isn't it? Verse 2. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my steps. Why? Because now the Lord is building the house and not me and you. Now what happened? Well, you know, we've received this peace because we've waited patiently for the Lord. And now we see Him begin to move on our behalf. And let me tell you what else happens is because faith gets increased because we know that He's moving on our behalf. In other words, there's nothing greater than to see the hand of God moving on our behalf because it brings us that impartation of He's here. He loves me, and He's Amen. With me. Hallelujah. And we see here it says, He put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. Many will see it in fear and will trust in the Lord. One of the things of surrender is so that God can not only build your house, but restore His image and likeness in you. Does everybody get it? Because if we're constantly, if we're not in a surrendered state, we're in a rebellion state, and that rebellion state is not the countenance of God. Amen. That's the countenance of the devil. And we become miserable. And ain't nobody want to be around a miserable believer. Go home. Go home and get some prayer. Go home and stay in your prayer closet until you get joyful. Go home until you die to yourself. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Proverbs 23. Glory to God. Proverbs 23. Aha. And let's start from verse 23. Everybody there? Buy the truth and do not sell it. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice. My son, give me your heart, and let your eyes observe my ways. What's that? Surrender. Give me your heart, and let your eyes observe my ways. Glory. Now, let's turn to Psalm 81. Glory, hallelujah. Give me your heart. Sometimes we need to let our heart take it out, throw it down on the ground so it can open up, so God can clean it up. Psalm 81. Verse 8. Is everybody there? Let's read this together. Hear, O my people, and I would admonish you. O Israel, if you will listen to me, there shall be no foreign god among you, nor shall you worship any foreign god. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. That's called yielding, isn't it? Because you're receiving instruction. Go on, verse 11. But my people would not heed my voice, and Israel would have none of me. So I gave them over to their own stubborn heart to walk in their own counsels. Does everybody get it? Let me share something with you. There will be a point when the Spirit of the Lord is trying to do something, then back off. And what he does is says, go ahead. That's called running the course. And many times in this ministry, when the Spirit of the Lord gives me counsel to give counsel to someone, and they don't receive it, then he says, back off and let the course run. And that's what we have to do. Unfortunately, we see what happens. We see the destruction. We see the destruction of the families. We see my class gets filled up again in jail. Many things happen. People go astray, whatever it may be, because of not receiving the counsel of the Lord. You know. So what we see here is that God turns them over to their own stubborn heart, doesn't he? Now look at what he says here. In verse 13. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways, I would soon. He didn't say immediately. He said soon. Subdue their enemies. Wow. And turn my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord would pretend submission to him, but their fate would endure forever. He would have fed them also with the finest of wheat, and with honey from the rock I would have satisfied them, or you. Why? If we would have stayed in the surrendered state, a yield state, a submissive state. Amen? One of the hardest things that believers have in that area, in that arena of a walk, is we begin to get confident in what we know or what we've known. Like with businesses. Sometimes the Lord is saying, listen, I'm your partner in this business. It's time to make a turn. And we rely on our own strength, right? We rely on our own wisdom, and the next thing we know, we're in trouble. Remember, God wants to be a part of everything in me and you.
Amen.
Everything. Amen. We live and move and have our being in Him. He wants to be a part in every single thing. So we must live and walk a surrendered life. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's go to Psalm 1. While we're here. Everybody there? Let's read this together. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. So that means he's walking in the counsel of the godly, isn't he? That's why he's blessed. So if you're not walking in the counsel of the godly, you're walking in the counsel of the ungodly, and you're cursed. Nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. See, so the reason why certain things that are not prospering is because there's not surrendering, doing it in our own strength, or taking ungodly counsel. Hallelujah. Now, let's go to Philippians 3. Philippians 3. Glory to God. Holy Ghost knows what we need, doesn't He?
Amen.
And you know, it's not things that we don't know already in certain areas, but we need to be reminded, don't we? It seems to be God's perfect time and season to share what He needs to share with us. Now, in Philippians 3, in verse 7, let's read this together. This is Paul, and he says, "But what things were gained to me, these I have counted lost for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, from whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ." That sounds like surrender to me. Let's go on. "And be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead." Whoa. Surrender. What was he saying? Listen, I'm willing to give it all up. I'm willing to give it all. See, you and I must be at that state of willing to give it all up in surrender. Amen? We must be willing to give it all up in surrender. Hallelujah. Let's go to Luke 14. I surrender all. Sometimes we got to beat down that flesh to surrender all.
Amen.
Down, boy, down. In Luke chapter 14, hallelujah, is everybody there? Glory to God. In verse 25, Now great multitudes went from him, Jesus, and he turned and said to them, let's read this please. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Wow. You know, we should have put in their job and a few other things, but he's talking about if he is not, if we're not surrendered to him first, and we're not willing to do whatever it takes to be that disciple, we can't be. Amen? If we're, in other words, if you're not a surrendered state, you're not his disciple. So we must walk in a surrendered state to become his disciple. And now it doesn't literally mean that you're to hate your husband and your wife and children, you know, or leave them, all right? When everybody go home and say, listen, man, call me up 2 days later, listen, I left my family. I want to be a disciple of God. And I'm telling you, I've gotten calls about that. I've had counsel with marriages and, or husbands and wives that have called and said, you know, I really want to serve the Lord. I'm leaving my wife. I'm like, look it, man. Hey, bonehead, where you been? Come out of there. So he's not talking about that, all right? In verse 27, and whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So you see that not only must we come after him and not allow anything of our family or associations, anything get involved between us and God, but he says, now you got to pick your cross up and come after me. So that's a two-state surrender. We got to surrender, pick the cross up, and then come after him and not go after us. Amen? Because me, myself, and I loves to get in the way. In verse 28, for which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Who? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him. So there is a price, isn't there? Surrender is the price. Surrender. You got to pray the price. And verse 30, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king does not sit down and first consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Better get some wisdom. Or else while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. He didn't say a little bit, but all. All. Who does not forsake all that he has. You know how many people call and say, yeah, I have a drug problem, or I have an alcohol problem, or I need this, or I need that. And we share with them, well, you know, the program is 3 months, or they get counsel and share with them, listen, you need to give up a couple of these things. And they'll say, yeah, I'm willing to do it. And you'll say, are you willing to do whatever it takes? Yeah, I'm willing to do whatever it takes. Okay, well, you can't work for the first 2 weeks to 4 weeks. Oh, no way. Oh, no way. So their job is their God. And then I explained to them anyways, look, you're going to lose it anyways. So why not surrender it up before it's taken? Amen? Certain things in people's homes that are accursed items, and they call and they ask for counsel or something to that degree, and they're having problems and difficulty. And they bring their children in for counsel, and the child comes in with Tasmanian devil t-shirts or whatever. And we share with them, listen, you know, you're going to have to give up a couple of these things. They're called accursed items. But it's been passed down to my family line. Okay, and then keep losing the battle. Because they're caught up in the material world. And the material world will kill you. We got to be willing to give up when God says give it up. You know how many times people have missed a blessing from the Lord? When you all of a sudden you just bought something. You don't even know why you bought it. Man, I was just led by the Lord to buy this. 2 days later, somebody needs it. And the Lord says, give that person it. But Lord, I just bought it. But Lord, I just bought it. Come on. I mean, that was expensive. I worked hard for that, Lord. Okay. The next thing you know, somebody else blessed that person with it. And you know what happened to the person that blessed them with it? They got a new one. Bigger, better, whatever it is. God doesn't tell you to give up something to take it away. He tells you to give up something so he can give you something better. But see, we just get caught up in this state of unsurrender. And we won't give it up. Or we won't be satisfied with what we have. We want to give something up when he's saying, hold on to it. Hello? Well, Lord, I want something better. Then he says, well, you're building the house, not me. And then we give up what he's given us, and we get something that looks better on the outside, but you know what? It don't last. People go out and buy cars, people go out and buy homes, people go out and buy furniture, whatever it is, and then what they're trying to do is upgrade, and God's not said to go upgrade yet. And they find that it crumbles. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we must stay in a surrendered state. And we must have the discernment of what to give up, right? When to give up, and how to give up. Always. Always. Glory to God. So here he says, now look at, in verse 34. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor for the dunghill, but men throw it out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. So you and I are the salt, aren't we? And sometimes, if we're not willing to give things up, we lose our flavor. Surrendered state keeps renewing. Did you ever go to a water fountain and turn it on? And you see the water coming out. You notice it starts off a little warmer and stays cool and it's refreshing. See, if you stay in that surrendered state, there will always be a refreshing. See, that water fountain, when you turn that switch on, surrenders the water, doesn't it? There's a little pressure on there, though, isn't there? It's like spring-loaded. There's a little pressure on that water fountain. You know, and that little water fountain is that resistance that doesn't want to let go. But once it lets go, it flows. And all of a sudden, there's a refreshing, and the thirst is quenched, and somebody's blessed. So if you and I walk in that surrendered state and allow God to continue to build that house instead of us trying to build it, we won't get stale. And it won't crumble. And we won't get in a miserable state, oppressed state, and sometimes possessed state. Hallelujah. Let's turn to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. You know, one who did... I'm not going to go there because it's a long story of Samson. Think about Samson. You know. And... hallelujah. Think of the state that he walked in. You know. He was anointed, wasn't he? Powerfully anointed. But he would not surrender to what God asked him to do. He did not yield, did he? He did things on his own. And God still blessed him, didn't he? But he went through a lot of turmoil. The only thing he surrendered to was the world. And it cost him his life. Actually, what it cost him is his sight. See, when we won't surrender to the ways of God and we surrender to the ways of the world, we become blinded. Does everybody get it? Samson was a prime example, a man of strength, a man of honor. People feared him because God was with him. But he kept disobeying God. He would lay with women. He was fornicating. He was touching carcasses. He was doing all the things, defiling God's presence. Because see, one of the things that you and I must do is protect the anointing that God has given me and you. And that's a whole other teaching. And if you and I will stay in a surrendered state, we're going to protect. The reason why God wants me and you to surrender is to protect the anointing he's given me and you. Amen? Or else if we defile that anointing, you'll find that that anointing will lift. Amen. The next thing we know, we're in trouble. And the end result of that is blindness. And that's exactly what happened to Samson. His eyes got poked out, however you want to say it. And Isaiah 55, in verse 6. Let's read this together. Hallelujah. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the uprighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God. For he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. So let me tell you something. God has got a plan much greater than what you and I could think. And you know, he sees tomorrow and he sees the future. And if we don't stay in that surrendered state or surrender, we walk right into the trap. Amen? We walk right into the trap. In verse 9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So if we'll stay, let me tell you, most of the time, as long as we're walking in a surrendered state, there's times that, you know what, you just can't figure it out. You know, Lord, this is what's happening. So many times we begin to search for something, and he's saying, will you hold on, I'll bring it to you. And if we nag him enough, he'll give it to us. And it's not his will or his timing. In other words, you could be praying for a job and asking for a job. Lord, I want this, I want this. Lord, please give it to me. And he says, all right. And he gives it to you. And you can't fulfill it. Amen? And you can't fulfill it. Oh, Lord, I want to get married to this person. This is the one. I know it's the one, Lord. Make way. Come on, Lord. They get married. It's like 4th of July in that house all the time. And it ain't about praise and worship. Amen? See, we can force the hand of God. And he'll give it to you. Because the Bible says, if you pray and you believe that he hears, you will get what you ask for. Hello? So if we'll stay in a surrendered state, we'll know that his ways are much higher than our ways. And his thought, I'd rather do his way than mine. Amen. That's the wonderful thing about praying in tongues. Amen. If we'll start praying in tongues more and quit asking the request in common language, hello? I pray in common language, don't get me wrong, but I'm interceding for others. You know, when I say, Lord, you know my needs, thank you. He knows my needs. Since when would he forsake me? He knows my needs. Now, there are certain things he might want me to pray. Oh, Lord. I need me a pink Cadillac. What curb feelers on it? And slick tires on the back and an overhead cam. You know, I know that people say, you know, you need to pray specifically. But you can pray specifically and get it, but it ain't God. Hello? The Lord knows what we need. You know, if we're really in a surrendered state, we're in fellowship. And our prayer time will be more of intercession for others and ministering to Him. Does everybody get it? Now, don't get me wrong. The first person you need to pray about is you. But it's not about what you need. What did he do with Solomon? Solomon didn't ask for extra life. He asked for wisdom. Your prayer, my prayer, should be, Lord, establish me to be a son or daughter that pleases you. Amen. Give me the wisdom and knowledge to bring glory to your name. Your prayer, my prayer, should be asking for the things that are going to exalt him. That we would be more in his image and likeness. The Bible says, submit, surrender, right? Present yourself as a living sacrifice. You're to be a living sacrifice to God. When we accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we said, Lord, I give you my life. That doesn't mean I'm weak on Sundays or Friday nights. See, life means life. It means forever. Life, even though that's a little word, is a very big statement. Life is a very big statement. Amen? So we must stay in that surrendered state. Hallelujah. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5. Praise be to God. Praise God. 2 Corinthians 5. I surrender all. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Hallelujah. Can we all read verse number 7? For we walk by faith, not by sight. Ooh, you know, that's a difficult thing to surrender, isn't it? That's where we get in the butt ministry. But, Lord, I can see. He's saying, what are you walking by sight for? The Bible says it's faith that pleases God. Amen. What are you walking by what you know for? You know how many times we get caught up in our own knowledge instead of caught up in the one who sends it? Amen. Let's read that one more time. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Praise be to God. Oh man, that was a good deal. It looks wonderful. Okay, I'll take it. But we never went to God and waited. Never went to God and waited. But you know, the devil's a salesman. He's the greatest salesman there is. The Bible says he's the most cunning beast ever created. I'm telling you, he can sell your own feet back to you. He's good. Does everybody get it? He's a great salesman. He knows how to pitch, and he knows how to hook. Very good. So we must. He comes across with the wonderful deals. But if we'll stay in that surrendered state and wait on God, we won't get hooked into his stuff. Amen. We got to wait on God. So we walk by what?
Faith.
Faith and not by what?
Sight.
Hallelujah. Go to, let's see here. Let's go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 10. Or 2 Timothy chapter 3, sorry. Glory. Is everybody all right? Second Timothy chapter 3. So we what? Walk by what?
Faith.
And not by what?
Sight.
Okay. Now, faith comes by what?
Hearing.
And hearing the Word of God, right? And the Word of God is what? The voice of God, right? So when God tells you to do something, you're walking in faith, right? When he hasn't told you to do something, you're walking in assumption. Does everybody get it? And that's why we blunder. Well, I'm going to walk out in faith. I'm going to step out in faith and I'm going to do this. Well, did God tell you? Well, no. Well, then that's not faith. That's assuming. Hello? And that's why people get in trouble. Well, I don't understand. You know how many people... Now, don't get me wrong, okay? Listen, don't get me wrong. You can give to God, and he returns, doesn't he? He's faithful for that. He's faithful. But there are people that God has not told... In other words, there are, sometimes there's an event going on, right? Now, you know, everything that comes into this ministry, we tithe out. But I have to hear from God and where it's going. Now, there are certain organizations that we support. And sometimes there's something else that comes up that he tells me to do. But I won't go do something out of a feeling or out of assuming because others are doing it. Does everybody get it? In other words, you can hear about telethons and whatever, and I'm not, don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with giving to them. But I want to know that God told me to give. Amen? I want to know that. And now, don't get me wrong, because sometimes the Lord said he's not going to tell you because you already know. Do you understand? In other words, he's already established something. He's already told you before, so you know. In other words, you're not going to go to a red light and it turn green and sit there and wait for God to tell you to go. Right? Amen? So there are certain things that he has established that we already know. But there are many people who God has not told to make this big commitment, and they've hurt themselves. Well, you know, the Lord told me to buy this and buy that for this business or sow into this, and I, let me tell you something, and next thing you know, they're struggling. And they're having a hard time because God's not told them. You know why? They weren't willing to surrender and wait. They weren't. You know what happens? They moved on emotion instead of the Spirit. Believe me, I can tell you many stories. I've had people come to me and say, the Lord told me to buy you this. And I know God didn't tell them to buy me that. One day somebody came up with the, what do you call it, the foot thing? Foot bath. And said, you know, I know the Lord told me to buy this for you, so you must have problems with your feet or something like that. And I looked at my wife, and she looked at me, and we were like, well, was it you? Or was it you? No, it wasn't me. Yeah. So we gave it to Mom.
Amen.
Praise God. Right ministry, wrong person. But praise, you know, but praise God. And Mom never used it. Well, anyways. So you got to understand that we don't want to walk in assumption. We want to walk in faith. You know, and God's going to tell us. When he tells us, then we walk in the faith. Amen? Just like that day, the Lord said to me, Now, he said to me, I want you to write a $1,000 check to this ministry. I'm thinking, Lord, is there $1,000 in our account? And he said, I want you to write. And I said, of course, you know what I said to him? I don't know the guy's address. And he said, he'll be at the morning full gospel businessman breakfast. So I said, okay, so I'm at the full, I brought a check, blank check with me, and I was at the full gospel businessman. And I'm thinking, Lord, I must have missed you. I'm assuming this. Because nobody was there. Halfway through the breakfast, nobody's there. All of a sudden, he comes walking in. I said, ooh. So, you know, after, you know, everybody's talking and singing and so forth, I'm thinking, all right, if this is you, Lord, and I heard right, it's you, you know, I'm stepping out in faith. Why? Because I heard. So with gladness, I wrote the man a $1,000 check. This was on a Friday. That Monday, somebody came to my front door and blessed us with a $4,700 check. God was trying to get something to me. Do you understand? Without being surrendered state, you're going to miss much of God. How is he going to show himself as being God?
That's right.
Amen? How else does he show himself as being God? If we keep answering our own prayers, we won't need God. Amen? But he wants us to have a relationship and fellowship with him, don't we?
Amen.
Okay, so we got to stay in the surrender state. Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. Hello. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. I would say that's an unsurrendered state. Surrendering to the devil, but not to daddy. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, of course, and whomever, loaded down with sins and led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapprove concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. So we see that we are in perilous times, aren't we? I mean, it's happening right now. We must maintain a surrendered state so God can build the house. We can get caught up into love of money. We can get caught up in the same thing of what was just spoken about right here. Proud, boasters, have a form of godliness, but deny its power. Let me share something with you which is important. We also must know our calling. Amen? When we move out of our calling, it's an unsurrendered state. We have people that call, let me give you an example. We have people that call with, now we know that God can do all things, can't he? Amen? And we get people that call, and I had a call today from an individual that wanted to put someone in this program. And I said, well, why isn't this person calling? Well, the person can't talk. They can't, they have a hard time communicating. Well, I said, well, if they have a hard time communicating, they're not going to make it here. And so I asked, well, is the person bound by drugs or alcohol? No. Well, what's the problem? Well, the individual does evil. He can't hold a job, this, that, whatever. He's intelligent. I'm thinking he's intelligent. So the Holy Spirit was letting me know. I said, well, is he on medication? And he said, well, nobody should be. okay? I said, has there ever been diagnosed as bipolar or schizophrenia? Yes. And I should. I said, listen, don't get me wrong. God can do all kinds of things. But we can't babysit people. This ministry is not for that. But you can bring them to a Friday night service where we can pray for the individual. And if God heals that individual and frees that individual, we gladly take him in. But we're not set for that. And we've tried to do that. And they put mom through hell. So we must know our calling. Does everybody understand that? We must know our calling, what God has given us to do. Yes, I'd like to rescue the world. I'd like to rescue every child. I'd like to rescue every mentally ill individual and so forth. But what I want to do and what God wants to do in this ministry is two different things.
Amen.
Amen. We'd like to be able to do a lot, but we all have a calling. So, see, we must live in a surrendered state, not to fall out of our calling, but to maintain our calling so that the power of God can continue to flow.
Amen.
Amen. So we don't do it in our own strength, but we do it in the anointing of the Holy One. And you know, and then, of course, it came back, well, what kind of ministry is this? You were recommended by such and such. And I shared, I said, please understand. When you go to a doctor, and the doctor says so much, and then he recommends you to a specialist or another surgeon, I said, not everybody can do whatever you're asking. But I should. I said, listen, and I recommended someone that deals with people right off of the street, someone where there's more staff available, where they can have more individuals that can cater to that individual. But, of course, you know that the laborers are few. Amen. So God must first supply what needs to be to facilitate. Amen. Whatever your... Listen, God's going to supply what you need for your ministry. He's not going to send you out there with no tools. Amen. And I share with this person, listen, we've worked, we've tried with these individuals already. And it just hasn't worked. Now, don't get me wrong. God can heal that individual. Amen. So I said, bring this individual to a Friday night service, and we'll gladly pray for the individual. If God heals that individual, praise God, we'll bring him in and disciple him. But that's why we recommend other ministries. And the individual said to me, well, how can you turn me away? I said, I'm not turning you away. I'm sending you somewhere else. They can help you. So, to God be the glory. And of course, the devil tried to beat me up, you know, but I just had to surrender to Father. Amen.
Amen.
And so we must know our calling. We must know our limitations. Amen.
Amen.
Or else we'll begin to work and move in the flesh in our own strength instead of in the anointing that God has given us. Hallelujah. Let's go on a little further. In Hosea 4:6, everybody knows, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. My people are destroyed for lack of surrender. I love that verse. Hallelujah. Praise God. We know that we're not fighting flesh and blood, amen? No. Let's go to... we know that the ruler of this world blinds the people, doesn't he? And believe me, when you, like we just talked about a few minutes ago about Samson, when you do not walk in a surrendered state, you get blinded again. So many people are trying to figure out God, and you can't. But you can fellowship with him. You know, one of the things is in fellowship, you'll learn to trust him. You can't trust someone you don't know. Amen? But you got to have fellowship in the Spirit. Now, there are surrenders that you and I must need to do. One of the things that we must always do in Mark 14, if you'll turn there. Hallelujah. I surrender all. Glory to God. Mark 14. We must surrender. We must surrender our way and get into prayer. We must surrender our desires and get into prayer. Does everybody get it? We must surrender. So what I'm trying to share is we must surrender our will. In verse 36, even Jesus, he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me, nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. That's a surrendered state. We need to tattoo that to our forehead so everybody can see it. Not what I will, but what you will. One of the hardest things of in that surrendered state, the devil always wants to keep us busy so we won't fellowship. Does everybody get it? If he can remove a sheep from a flock, he's got them. So he'll always try to keep us busy. He'll always try to keep us to a place where, I got work to do. I got to do this job. You know, I haven't done this in a long time. I need to clean. The next thing you know, the person's missing Bible study, missing services, misses intercessory prayer. And let me tell you something, that person's missing his or her own prayer at home. Amen? Because they're not surrendering to the will of God. The Bible says, forsake not to assemble. It's important. Forsake not to assemble. So the devil wants to move that sheep, doesn't he? So we need to surrender our will, just like Jesus surrendered here. Amen? And Acts 3. Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. Hallelujah. Can we read this together? Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Now understand this. We must be in a surrendered state of repentance. Does everybody get it? In other words, when you blow it, you better surrender quickly to repent. In thought, word, and deed. Why? Because then the refreshing comes. The reason why sometimes the refreshing doesn't come is because there hasn't been a repentant state. There's been something that's hindered that we haven't repented for. Amen. Hallelujah. And let's see here. Matthew 11. Matthew 11. Everybody there in verse 28. Let's read this together. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. See, when you come to the surrendered state, you will get rest. Does everybody get it? You see, please understand this. God is trying to get us something. He's trying to bring something to me and you. You can't get it if you're not surrendered. Because surrender is a representation of receiving also. When you surrender, you're willing to receive whatever it is. In other words, when you surrender, you're willing to take the consequences, aren't you? Mm-hmm. You know how many times, well, you go to a court or traffic court or whatever it may be. Okay, I surrender. Whatever the consequences are, whatever is going to come my way, I'm willing to receive it. Does everybody get it? So this is the same thing with the Lord. He's trying to get something to me and you. So he says in verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. So as we surrender, he says, come to me. Surrender is also a representation of willing to learn. Willing to learn. And you'll find rest for your soul. Verse 30, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, we got to stop struggling and start surrendering. Sometimes it's more of a struggle to surrender. You know, one day I was just so overwhelmed. So many things were just going on. You know, and I was going on. Sometimes, you know, the Lord tells me, Guy, it's time to rest. Okay, Lord, as soon as I finish this. You know, did you ever hear the saying, you shop till you drop, you know? Well, you labor till you drop, right? And so many things were going on. I just had a really hectic week. I was up hours trying to get things done, whatever. And I could feel the strife and the anxiety and the anxiousness and all these things start to come upon me. And it was like, you know, it was difficult. I'm like, Lord, I need to pray and I need to do this. I need to read my word more. I need to do it. And all of a sudden, I'm like, wait a minute here. I dropped everything. Boom. I went in my room, shut the door, and I laid down. I said, Lord, I surrender. It's all yours. I don't need to pray. I don't need to do anything. You know it all. You're my daddy. I'm your son. I give it to you. And I surrendered and I took a nap.
Amen.
And I got up. Everything was fixed.
Amen.
What am I going to do with this? What am I going to do with that? What about this person, that person? I got to counsel this and this. Forget it. Shut it off. Turn off all the stations. Lift my hands and surrender. You got it, Daddy. And I got refreshed. And I got rest. I got counsel. I got correction. And everything was fixed.
Amen.
Just by surrendering. See, we need to get there. There are times you know you feel the push now. When you feel that push, drop it. Drop everything. And go surrender. Go surrender. So we need to surrender to get delivered. Hallelujah. In Matthew 16, while we're in Matthew... Now, I don't want everybody staying home from work tomorrow, right? Well, Pastor, we all decided to surrender. Now, we do have responsibilities, amen? Oh, but we could have some good praise and worship. We could do an all-day intercessory prayer. In Matthew 16 and verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him what?
Deny
himself and take up his cross and what? Follow me. Let me share something with you. Surrender is a representation of follow. When you don't surrender, you don't follow. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. So one of the things by coming after him or following him as a representation is we must surrender to have a devotional life. Amen? We must have a devotional life unto God. And Revelation 12. Glory to God. Live teachings. Revelation chapter 12. Hallelujah. And verse 11. Can everybody read this with me? And they overcame him, that's the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. You and I must live a surrender to death life. In other words, all the way. All the way. Galatians 2:20. I surrender all. Hallelujah. Did you ever notice that when you got something that you need, when there's something that you need, let's say a physical healing or whatever it is, and you stop praying for yourself, and you surrender and start praying for someone else, you get fixed. Amen? Or you get whatever. There's nothing greater than getting out of the way. Galatians 2. Is everybody there? And verse 20. Let's read this together. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Whoa. Surrendered. To where? To where it's no longer we that live, but he that lives within us. Amen. Now, let's go to 1 Thessalonians. Hallelujah. Surrender. Ooh, this is good. Let's start at verse 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. Didn't I tell anybody?
No.
Come on, aren't you guys in the Spirit? Forgive me, aren't I in the Spirit? All right. All right, I'll surrender that up. I repent. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Is everybody there? And verse 14. And we're going to end with this. Now remember, surrender is a representation of sanctification too. Because if you're living a surrendered life, you're sanctified unto God. Amen?
Amen.
In In verse 14, let's read it. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. And now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. And greet all brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Hallelujah. Surrender. Holy Father, we give you glory and we give you honor and we thank you for your word tonight. Now, Lord, let this seed of surrender be manifest in us. Let us have the discernment and the faith to surrender. Let us walk in faith and not by sight. And let us come to that position where it's no longer we that live, but you do. Everybody say, all of you, Lord.
All of you, Lord.
And none of me.
None of me.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
And everybody said,
amen.